case you were wondering, that's from the film Sing. The destruction of a grand and glorious building, the hope of Buster Moon, the koala, all his future is gone. The Israelites in the Old Testament worshipped God at the temple in Jerusalem. That was, in their minds, was where God lived. So when their enemies came and destroyed the temple and took the Israelites into exile away from their homes, it was devastating. The house of God was gone. The enemies had won. There was nowhere to worship. It might even seem that God had been defeated. But the Israelites knew that God was faithful, that he was allowing these terrible things to happen because they'd gone against him. They turned back to God and trusted that he would restore them. In the book of Ezra, we saw how Cyrus, the king of Babylon, allowed them to return to their homeland and told them to rebuild the temple, and how they started off well, but they got discouraged by opposition from their enemies. And they gradually stopped work and concentrated on their own houses, which were much easier. That might look like the end of the story, but it isn't. God is still faithful. So we're going to see. Today we're going to hear from a prophet who spoke to the Israelites at that time, who gave them hope. And I'm not going to inflict this reading on anyone else because it's one of those ones with all the names in it. So I'm going to give it a go myself. It's from the book of Haggai. And I'm doing a selection of verses to try and get the whole story. We start with Haggai 1, verses 1 to 4. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panelled houses while this house remains a ruin? Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. The temple is rebuilt. It might not look as grand, but God will be there. In spite of their enemies, in spite of the difficulties they face, the Israelites listened to what God was saying. They saw him at work and they could praise him. I found it interesting as I watched that film and those film clips. The flashy, opulent, original building that, if you'd seen the rest of the film, you'd know we're struggling to survive. the koala in charge was losing money, and his last-ditch attempt to save the building was to put on a big talent show. He pulled out all the stops to impress the rich sheep lady so that she'd give him money. And he promised the contestants huge prize money, but it was all show and there was no substance behind it. And suddenly it was all taken away. His livelihood, his hopes and dreams, his inheritance from his father, all gone. And he went back to his day job, cleaning cars for money. He gave up on the singers and the theatre altogether. Until one day he heard the elephant, who'd been too shy to ever sing on stage, standing on the bubble and singing the song Hallelujah. And the koala realised that it wasn't about the show, it wasn't about the building or the money, it was about the song. They rebuilt the building as we saw, or bits of it at least, so that people could come and hear the music. And when they did, the rich sheep lady was so impressed that she bought the building and rebuilt it even better than before. But that came from the songs. The singers didn't need a flashy set, they just needed a place. And their singing made it glorious. For the Israelites, when everything had been taken away, they too realised that there had been no substance behind their show. The building of the temple and the rituals in it had meant nothing because the people weren't actually focused on God. He made no difference in their lives. So God proved that lack of substance to them by sending them into exile, a devastating experience of loss and distance from him. Would they realise that God wasn't about the showiness, but that his will was supreme? Well, they did, and they did return to God, and that was the pattern of much of the Old Testament. And God, in his faithfulness, returned them to Jerusalem. And it seems they began to rebuild his temple. It seems, too, that this was somewhat half-hearted. They were discouraged by opposition, by enemies. They changed their minds and decided to build their own homes first. Until Haggai comes along to tell them to get back to work. If they trusted that their restoration was from God, surely they should be returning to worship, and that needed the temple. Okay, so they start work. And maybe in the beginning it looked a bit like that restored theatre we saw. We see in Ezra as well as in Haggai that those who looked upon the new temple as it was being built thought it was nothing compared to the old one. But they still forgot that it wasn't about the building, it was what was inside it. It was God who made the temple glorious. Not how big it was, or how much gold was used, or how many sacrifices it could hold. And God promised that he would be in this new temple. His people would meet him there, and even the nations would come. And God came to that temple in more ways than one. The first thing Mary and Joseph did when Jesus was born was to take him to the temple. We have a record of them returning 12 years later when Jesus stayed behind in the temple to listen to the teachers there. Jesus returned to the temple to teach, drove out the people misusing it, and finally spoke of his body as the temple, which would be destroyed and rebuilt. The glory of God came to the temple in the person of Jesus. So we see every time the glory of the new temple was greater than the last. When you think back to the past, when God has been at work in your life or in the world, what do you think of? Do you think of the days of Christendom where everyone went to church and the country could truly be described as a Christian country? Do you think of this church or your previous churches and activities that used to go on? Church holidays, Noah's Ark, holiday clubs, well-attended study groups. Do you think of your own life and things you used to be able to do but can't anymore? Or relationships that you've lost? It's easy sometimes to look back at the past. We look at how things used to be and wish we could go back. even if we ignore the fact that we looked with rose-tinted glasses, that it was never as perfect as we think it was. The fact is, we can't go back. And we can live with a sense of dissatisfaction about that. We can look at what the world is today, what the church is today, even for some of us what our lives are today, and lament over the fact that it's not how it used to be. We think that the glory days are over. But if we live in that dissatisfaction, even if we try with all our might to return to the way things used to be, that serves no purpose but to destroy. I invite you instead to look at the present. Because the fact is, God is here now, in the world, in the church, in our lives. The outside stuff might be less comfortable for us than it used to be, less showy than it used to be. But the God at the centre of it all is absolutely as glorious as he ever was. And maybe if we look at what God is doing now, if we see what he is building, we'll find something even more glorious than what has gone before. Don't be discouraged by what used to be. Don't be distracted by wishing you could go back. We may have lost a lot, but we haven't lost everything. God is still God. God is still glorious. God is still at work. What's he doing here today? This very day, he's gathered us together in worship. This very day, he leads us and teaches us. This very day, he is here. What more glory can we ask? And God promises us that as he was with us in the past, as he is with us now, he'll be with us in the future. He promised the Israelites, the glory of the present house will be greater than the glory of the former house. You know, I'll only be with you for a few more weeks, but the church remains. God remains. And God will continue to pour out his spirit in this place if you continue to seek him. Seek his future, not your past. I don't know what that looks like, and at times it might not look like much, but I know God will be glorified in it. The Bible is full of this hope. Over and over, things don't work out as people had planned. And yet God continues to work, going from glory to glory. Paul writes of the glory of the new covenant based on Jesus, surpassing that of the old covenant based on the law. And of us as Christians being transformed into the likeness of God with ever-increasing glory by the Holy Spirit. So the church too, the new temple, consisting of the people of God, will go from glory to glory as it seeks the Lord. And this church will grow. This church will be a light to the community because God will make it so. And finally, I want to encourage us all in our lives, especially those of us who are getting older or who are suffering losses of various kinds. It's so tempting to look back and say, God worked through me when I was healthy. God blessed me when I had my husband. God gave me joy when my children were young. But what about now? That God is the same God. God who works through you in health can work through you in sickness. God who blessed you then can bless you now. God who gave you joy in family will continue to give you joy in both biological and spiritual families. What is God doing in your life? Because he wants his glory to show in it. You might think it doesn't look like much. But God never intends us to fizzle and fade. His glory will shine through us till the very end. We might, like the Israelites, look around us and think, this is not what it used to be. But if God is here, if he is in us, and I trust he is, then we can take heart in the glory of his word. As we do our best to make a place for him, he will glorify it. Because it belongs. Let's pray. Lord God, it's so easy to look at the past and think how good it was, and resent the present, or be fearful of the future. Give us strength to live in this day, to see you at work in this place, in this life, in this moment. Give us the ability to see where you are leading us, to trust in the future you have for us. And Lord, may your glory shine through. Not in the show and the brilliance of a building or a fancy lifestyle, but all the more in our witness and simplicity. Be at the centre of our church, of our lives, and transform us from glory into glory. For your name's sake. Amen.